Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Wednesday, June the 17th, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. Summer is coming ever so close. This Sunday, Father's Day, June the 21st, first day of summer. Although there always is a little bit of conjecture on this. Is it the 21st? Is it the 20th? Is it the 22nd? You'll hear it all three different ways as we head into the weekend, but I'm going to stick with the idea that the summer solstice will come on Sunday, Father's Day, June the 21st, which will also be the longest day of the year, the longest day with daylight hours, so get ready for that this coming Sunday. Now, I have a lot to talk about this morning, which will hopefully make for an interesting program. Plus, I want to do some things that hopefully are kind of fun, because I'm starting to feel again like the world is getting a little too heavy. And that's part of the thing, part of the things I want to talk about this morning. But first, I just want to do a few little notes here about my life, because, you know, you got to start with yourself. Now, I have always said, and I continue to say, that when you are forming bonds with people, friendship, whatever it may be, some of the things that form those bonds are talking to people or showing up at people's houses at times you normally would not do that. Now, usually that would be late at night, probably after 11 o'clock, or early in the morning. And I'm going to qualify early in the morning as before 6:30. So, I did not have anybody show up last night. But I will say this, I had a weird phone call last night at almost 11 o'clock, I guess it probably was, from a friend of mine. I will say this person was a friend, and they wanted to know if I wanted to go out and get coffee last night at like 11, I guess it would have been. I think they wanted to go someplace close to where I live. I certainly hope they didn't want me to make coffee and have them come over and drink it, because that was unlikely to happen at 11 o'clock last night. But in any event, they did call. Now, even though I did not go, I thought that it was nice that they called. See, sometimes it's just the gesture. It's not really, let's go out and get coffee. Because, you know, you can get coffee any time of the day. And I think the fact that they called late at night. Now, if they were having a problem, I hope they were able to solve their problem. Because I really don't think they just wanted to hang out with me at 11 o'clock at night. Although, maybe they did. You never really know. So there was that last night. And then to be followed up this morning by a phone call at 5:30 this morning. Now, for me to even answer this phone call, I think makes me a good friend. And to be honest with you, I don't have a phone in my bedroom that I leave on all night that would ring. Because I've always lived by this mantra that if somebody calls me in the middle of the night for whatever reason, and usually the reason you get is that, well, my mantra is it can wait till morning. And usually what you hear back from that is you hear, well, what if somebody dies in the middle of the night? And I always say, well, will they be any less dead in the morning? What can I do at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to help this person not be dead? So I don't really get that. it's strange. It's just a strange thing. That's all it is. Now, I get this phone call this morning. So, the phone call is really interesting this morning at 5:30, because when I get up to answer the phone call, to be honest with you, I'm kind of annoyed to begin with, because who's calling at 5:30 in the morning? We don't need calls at 5:30 in the morning. That's not something you want, even though I think it is a bonding experience. So the call comes in at 5:30 this morning, and I think to myself, who is this? Somebody's died. So I get up, and I answer the telephone, and of course nobody had died. But it was just somebody, to be honest with you. It was weird, because I don't think the person was in a crisis. Although, when we started to talk, I thought the person was in a crisis. I thought something was going on. I thought, this person is in crisis central, because it sounded like a panicked call. You know when you answer the phone and it sounds like somebody's in a panic? That's what it felt like. It just felt like a panic call. But I took it. I took it regardless, trying to be the nice person that I am. So I get on the phone with them, and immediately the panic starts to subside. And the panic turns into now more of a conversation. So now at like 5:40 in the morning, I'm talking about, hey, you want to do something? Hey, you want to... And I'm, what? Why do we need to make these plans at 5:45 a.m.? Couldn't this have waited until, you know, maybe 9 or 10 this morning to make some kind of plans? I don't know. But the point is, again, I think it's a bonding experience. I think anytime you call somebody outside of the hours that normal people would be getting calls, I just think that's some kind of a bonding experience. So I will consider myself bonded. These were two separate people, by the way. Wasn't the same person calling last night who called this morning. And I did answer the phone call. As many of you know, I have the disease where I cannot make a phone call, but I can answer a phone call. So, however you want to put it, I answered both phone calls. They were both okay, and now I feel bonded to these people. So, I think that's nice, even though both of them had really nothing to say. So, let's just put it, and let's hope they don't listen to this program, because I would hate to think that they think that I think they had nothing to say, but nice people nonetheless. Okay, so that's my little rant to start off the day. Something else I wanted to talk about. I saw a program last night, really quick. It was like 15 minutes, but I thought it was one of the most fascinating programs that I had ever seen, because I'm fascinated with psychology and sociology in general. Those type of things fascinate me. They always have. I took a lot of psychology and sociology when I was in college. And as a matter of fact, if I ever had an elective, I usually took sociology or psychology. So I've always been fascinated by that. And also partly I'm fascinated by philosophy. So this show came on last night, and I could tell they were talking about sociology probably more than psychology. And this is something I have always kind of believed, but it was nice to know that now there have been studies done, because we love to do studies on everything. That's what we'd like to do in America. We love to spend money on a good study at a college. So now there have been studies done, and I want to get your opinion on this, because I think this is fascinating. Now, what this says is, basically, and it was much more in-depth than this 15-minute special, and I wish I knew who even put this on or what it was called, but I just kind of caught the tail end of it, and I, at the time I thought, well, this is not going to be as fascinating as it ended up being. So I'll have to root this out today and figure out exactly how interest or what this was and refer you to it. But basically, here's what this said. And boy, do I think this is dead on. It basically talked about people in general and how the things that we think will change your life, Well, maybe not so much your life. It wasn't really your life, because I guess these things can change your life, but change your social perspective. I know I'm not explaining this very well, but the deeper I get into it, hopefully the more this will make sense. What they had done was they had taken a girl, and this girl, I got the impression, they really didn't say, but that this girl had not grown up in the best circumstances. I don't know what the circumstances were, but the girl had not grown up in the best circumstances. And now she was into life a little bit, and she had a life. And a lot of people sort of looked down on her because of the life that she was living. You know, it wasn't one of those highfalutin lives, you know, that everybody goes, oh, wouldn't we all be lucky to have that life? You know, it was a life that was a little tough. It was a tough life. So, oh, and by the way, this is what, because they interviewed the girl, and her name was Katie. I do remember that. The girl's name was Katie. So they're talking to Katie, and of course they're explaining to Katie that maybe your life is not the life that everybody wants. And she gave the answer that everybody gives when you say that, well, I don't care what other people think. That's immediately what people say. Now, this may or may not be true. She might not care what other people thinks. That's, you know, it happens. Sometimes we don't care what other people think. More than likely, though, we do care what other people think, because you will find, if you follow these people around long enough, you will find that they tend to be more emotional. They tend to be more touchy. They do care. But they will always tell you they don't, because I think that's showing a little bit of weakness. So they're talking to Katie about her life that probably is not the envy of most people, and that maybe people look down a little bit on. So, you know, she doesn't regret it. But what they did was, is they took factors that most people think are good things. They took factors like money, a lot of money, and they took factors like social circle, like hanging around with people who maybe had some clout in the community. And they took, what was the other factor that they had in there? It was money, social circle, and there was something else that people tend to think good of. I think it was doing good deeds, I think, was the other thing. So essentially what they did, and I'm not sure how long this study went on, but they're tracking Katie, who again has a less than desirable life, unfortunately, in other people's eyes, maybe not in her own, but in other people's eyes. And they give her all these things. They give her money. Oh, education was one, because she didn't have much of an education. I think she had dropped out of high school. They gave her money. They gave her kind of social status, you know, invited her to things in the community that were kind of highfalutin things with highfalutin people. They paid for her to finish out her high school education, and then paid for her to start college, and did all these things that usually make people different, make them raise their social consciousness and raise their social standing, I guess is more or less what the study was about. Well, guess what they found out in the end? Guess what? Does anybody have a guess before I give you the answer? Because I think this is fascinating. 29 and a half minutes past the hour. Do you know what they found out about Katie? Now, telephone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, remember, this was a girl who'd had a rough growing up. She kind of ended up in social circles where people looked down on her. But they gave her money over a period of time. It must have been years, because you can't do school in, you know, a week. They gave her money. They gave her money to go get an education, which she was doing. They gave her invitations to things that had a good social setting with more highfalutin people, I guess. And you know what they ended up finding about her? After they had given her all these things that would be the tools to raise your life up a little bit. Does anybody have a guess what they found? Because this is the fascinating thing, and I think this is a lesson that all people should learn. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have a guess what they found? Now, I'm going to tell you here in a second if you don't have any guesses, because I've got a whole other subject I want to get on to this morning. A lot to talk about this morning here on the program, which, by the way, Glenn Coble will be in, and the morning will continue with him. I'll be on with Glenn Coble this morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Glenn will be on today from 12 noon until 1 p.m., and then Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond will be on from 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will be on from 6 until 7 today, right here on WWGH Radio. Okay, so here's what they ended up finding. This is fascinating. So, Katie, bad side of the tracks, looked down upon by a lot of people. They give her everything, all the tools that you think would be necessary to change your social philosophy, social setting in life. Better yourself, I guess, is how they would refer to it. And what they found was, is that she was still the same person. She still made the same choices. She still gravitated toward the same people in life who tended to be more of the nefarious characters. And that nothing really changed for her. That she was able to add all of these things that are very positive things for the most part, but it didn't change anything. And I think that goes back to a lot of things that we've talked about on this program, is that when you're born, you are born a blank slate. And the stuff that happens to you early on in life, they used to say before third grade, I think it's gotten a little longer now. It might be like high schoolish. But the things that happen to you that carve out the person that you become, become your habits. And when you try to change those habits later on in life, they don't necessarily have the desired outcomes. And you don't, I mean, you might get a degree. You might hang out with a better social circle. You might end up having a lot of money, but eventually it does not fill that hole that you're trying to fill, which initially got you into the trouble that got you into the social settings that originally you got into. Now, this was fascinating to me, because for years we've always heard about celebrities. We say, oh, celebrities just have it all. They have the money, they have the fame, they have everything they want. They have the beautiful wives, they have the beautiful husbands. You know, how could their life be awful? Unlimited supplies of money. And yet, celebrities commit suicide. Celebrities have a high divorce rate. Celebrities have issues. Well, how could you have an issue if your life is perfect? Because the theory behind that has always been that it doesn't fill that hole. You cannot fill that hole with superficial things. You cannot fill that hole with money. You cannot fill that hole with different friends. You cannot fill that hole. And a lot of times, I think the same thing goes for celebrities, they don't change their friends. They keep the same group of friends and expect everything to change. And I don't know that that works. I'm not saying you should dust everybody out of your life, but you tend to gravitate toward people who are more like yourself instead of people who are not like yourself. Now, me personally, I like people who are not like me. I like people who are almost the exact opposite because I find them fascinating. But I think that's due to my curiosity, because I'm curious about what makes other people tick. So I think that's what draws me to opposite people in life to be my friends. Because it's just, and I think that's why I get along with them better, is because we're not interested in the same things. So it's not, it's always an adventure, in a way, to go out and do certain things. Because they're things I probably would normally not be doing, and if they're doing something I was doing, it's probably not normally something they would be doing. But I just found that endlessly fascinating, how the superficial things in life don't really change the person that you are. That person that you are always remains. And I don't know, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I think in some cases it's probably good. It's not good to lose the essence of who you are. But in some cases, I do think people think it's going to fill a hole. And I don't think that hole ever does get filled. I just think that's fascinating. And it was only about 15 minutes, and I'm probably not describing it as well as the program last night did, but I think it's fascinating. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The toll-free line is open and running this morning. Is there anything, any thoughts you might have on this particular issue? I think it's great. I think that I think anytime we can learn about other people, anytime we can learn about why people do what they do, that's fascinating. And sociology does such a great job of that, whether it's in school or whether it's studies like these or whether it's just classes you take because you want to take them. I think you end up learning so much about people. When I was in college, I think I can tell this story now. When I was in college, I had a sociology professor, and she always dressed in black. Every day, warm, cold, mild, she always dressed in black. Black turtleneck, black pants, black shoes. Her closet must have been very dark. She always wore black. And she always was chewing on a cough drop. I don't know why she was chewing on a cough drop. I never figured that one out. But she always wore black. Now, this was a very educated woman. Sociology professor, had made it. Her husband was a professor, very successful. I'm sure they had money because she was always talking about having an apartment in New York that they would rent out in Manhattan. She loved to go to Manhattan on her breaks from school. That was her life. But when she was giving her lectures on sociology, she loved to talk about her mother, who I think had departed, had went on to her reward. And she loved to talk about her mother being so different than she was. That her mother wanted her to find a husband when she was younger. That her mother couldn't understand why she didn't want to learn to cook. Why her mother couldn't understand why she didn't want to clean house, didn't want to do the typical things of that era. She never got over it. She never got over what her mother said. And I thought, when I was watching this last night, that's exactly what I thought about. Because this was a sociology professor that I had for so many years. But something happened along in her life that completely changed, and I think it was her mother. I think her mother had some really direct change in her life, and she was never able to get over it. She could change her clothes, she could change her social setting. She certainly never did anything that her mother wanted her to do, and she would point that out in class. And she had, you know, financially, I'm pretty sure she was okay. She was married, it was all good, but yet it never filled that hole that was left by what her mother would say to her. And, you know, I just think that's probably more true than it's not. And if you watch people, and if you listen to people, I think you'll find this is probably true. Again, if anybody has anything they'd like to say on this, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. give me a ring and we will put you on the air and discuss whatever you would like to discuss. 740-383-9944. But I found that to be so fascinating last night. Okay. We've got the phone calls out of the way. We've got the study out of the way. Oh, here we go. Hopefully this is an opinion on what I'm talking about here this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. I just think your whole subject this morning is very interesting, and I've always, or for a long time, been, you know, felt that we are what we are when we're born, and when you try to change that, fill that hole, or, you know, change that in a person, and then they feel that gap there in their life, that's why we end up taking drugs, drinking too much, filling that hole, eating too much, cramming everything in that hole to try to change back to the way we were when we were originally born.
Well, you know, and this is the thing, as I was saying, when I was in college, I always took sociology classes, so that's why this caught my eye last night. And it's so fascinating to me because here was this girl, Katie, and I believe that was her real name. I don't think it was an alias, and I'm not sure how they followed her. I wish I would have caught that part of the program, but I know it had to be, you know, a year or so. And she had a life that people looked down on, and she knew that people were looking down on her life. Because they asked her, they said, well, what do you think of these people who look down on you? And, of course, her response was, I don't care, even though she was very highly emotional, and clearly she did care. But when they gave her all the superficial tools to fill that void, that is what people were looking down on, when they gave her the money, when they gave her the schooling, which she was doing very well at, by the way, when they gave her the different life, she still gravitated toward people who were not the best characters in life.
She still put her panties on one leg at a time.
She did. It did not change who she was. And what was most fascinating, and I don't think I said this, was the people who looked down on her before, it didn't change how they felt either. She could have all the money. She could be going to college. She could... What they were looking down on was the person. It wasn't the stuff that she thought they were looking down on. Which makes me think, you know, let's say you're poor as a church mouse, and let's say you didn't go to college, and let's say you didn't... But let's say you have really good friends. You have really cosmopolitan, diverse friends, and you choose good people in your life. Do people look at you in a better way? Is it really not about money and education and all those things we think it is?
Well, maybe I've just lived too long and everything, but I just think that we need to just be ourselves the best we can be in ourselves, you know, and not take the high road in different things, but you're still yourself. You are what you are when you were born. That's the way you were meant to walk through life, as the traits you have when you're born. And when you go to start changing those in any way, you may learn along the way different things. You may, like you said, education, that helps, but you are still that person. And if you fight it, you're going to end up, that's going to hurt you in the long run, you know, trying to fill that hole of what is expected of you.
How much do you think, because this is what I thought, because I thought, honestly, to be honest with you, I thought the education part of it and the money part of it were kind of superficial, because there are people in life who are rich, there are people who don't have a lot, there are people who have gone to college, there are people who are not. I don't know that really affects your inner personality. What I felt really was probably the biggest trait was your inner circle. The people you choose to be part of your life that are not your family, because your family are just there for the most part.
They don't count.
They don't make that cut.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating to me, though, that the people who came from maybe a more, and I'm trying to use the right word here, they came from a more nefarious background, that the morals were a little more relaxed, that they just didn't care as much, kept choosing people to be in their life like that, because that's who they were.
Right. And, you know, until you walk in that person's shoes, I guess that is very hard, difficult to understand. You are what you are. You proceed through life, you know, the way that you've learned or whatever your personality dictates, you know, as the way you live. But to understand, you can only just, I like to watch people. I like to take in, you know, different things and then make my judgments, I guess, and not judgments. My observations, that's probably a better term for it, just to observe why people are the way they are. But sometimes you can maybe understand why people are the way they are. Maybe you do understand it, but it still doesn't mean you like them.
Well, and that becomes the thing. See, this is one of the long-term issues. It's not so much that you dislike them, and it's not even so much that you're critiquing how they live. I don't think it's that at all. I think what the problem is that the person in their own inside is unhappy, and they can't seem to understand why they can't fill this hole. They can't fill this void.
You know, so basically it's their own problem of dealing with it.
Right. And I think they try to fill it with money and the superficial stuff, which doesn't change it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always felt that the circle of people that you keep in your life are really going to dictate a great majority of your life, because you hear their opinions, you hear their thoughts, you see how they live their life, and you know it's always easier to look at somebody living their life and say, oh, well, they do it, I can do it too. And and that becomes the trap that we all fall into. And one of the things, I forgot about this, and I'm glad you brought this subject up. One of the things that was so fascinating to me about this program was they tried to pair this person up, because she was unmarried. They tried to pair her up with somebody who was the complete opposites of her, thinking that opposites attract. And what happened was she was totally into that person. Became very, I'm not even sure what you would say, became very emotionally attached to that person. And my understanding, and I don't know if it was even in a marriage way, it didn't look that way. It just looked, they became very emotionally attached. And I think it's because that person was so different than the people that they normally congregate with.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's definitely so. And you were saying that you, see, I took a little bit different thought when you said that about gravitating toward people who are different from you, because I thought perhaps that could mean that when you hung around those people, you didn't want any competition in any way of them being very similar to you. Do you think that's part? Do you think there's anything to that?
It probably could be. You know what I learned, though, a long time ago? And I've always taken this to heart, and I'm not sure where this quote came from. I didn't make it up, but I've always believed it. Is if I'm in a group of people who are similarly minded to me, chances are we're probably talking about the same stuff, and we might even have the same beliefs. And if I am the smartest person in my group, or I can't learn any more from that group, then I need to find a new group.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. So I guess if I'm around different people who are the 180 of me personality-wise, I learn from them. I not necessarily good habits either, and it's not maybe even habits that I pick up. I just learn what makes them them. I learn how they got to where they are. If it's somebody like me, I probably figure in my own mind they got there just the way I did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They don't fascinate you, do they?
They don't fascinate me.
Because I understand myself. I don't need to understand
That's right. Once you understand yourself, you don't have to go around. But I do. I am fascinated by how people get to be who they are. You know, you look at these personalities and you can take them on the surface and you can say, well, I wonder how they got that way. I wonder why they're that way. And when you start chipping away at it and you learn, most likely you'll find an answer.
Yeah. But it feeds your ongoing interest. It feeds it, you know, learning about people, so.
Yeah, you got to learn about people. Do you think, because I think right now about everything going on in this country, do you think that if we just took the philosophy, we don't have to agree with everybody. We certainly don't have to agree. But what if we just took the philosophy of, okay, I understand why you feel the way you do. I get it. I understand it. It's not hard to understand. I don't agree with you, but I understand it. Do you think if we just took that philosophy, maybe we wouldn't be defacing property and busting windows and doing the things we're doing?
Well, as long as everyone took that outlook, I mean, you know, everybody has to act that way or everybody has to do that, or it isn't going to do any good, because as people do all the bad things that they do and the rest of people look at it and it continues on and on and on, it just gets to the point where you totally want to shut the door on that. I know, because I'm doing that right now. I'm shutting the door on a lot of different things that I can't, I can't take any more of it. And I find myself happier and more productive in my own world. And that's probably not right, but that's the only way I can do it right now.
Well, yeah, and it is. It's tough. It's very tough because we all have things that irritate us, and we all have things that are breaking points for us. So it's hard. But I just wish, and you're right, everybody does have to feel that way. I just wish that there used to be a day, and it wasn't all that long ago, where I could disagree with somebody on something. But I could at least say to them, I understand where you're coming from. I understand why you feel that way. It's just not how I feel. And let's go on and be friends. For some reason, we've lost that.
We've lost it, yeah. Well, who knows those particular reasons other than the fact that everything's instant nowadays and you never get a chance to breathe because everything's instant. It's in your face 1 minute after it happens.
Well, that is true, and I also don't think we tell people enough how important they are. And I've tried very hard on this show and in life to do that more often because, you know, we are so quick to criticize. And I think about the news right now. You know, 90% of what we see on the news is somebody being critical of somebody else. What if we, why don't we take somebody who's actually doing something good and say, wow, isn't that great? But you know what? When you do that, people think you're...
Good luck on that, Scott.
Yeah, I know. People think you're nuts when you do that. People think when you praise somebody that you must... Like, this morning when I was talking about getting the call at 5:30 this morning and getting the call last night at 11 o'clock, you know, I thought those were bonding experiences because I think that's how... You know, if somebody feels comfortable enough to call you at those hours...
Make it once, don't do it again.
That's right. One time's enough, we're bonded. We don't have to do it every morning.
Next time, I don't want to bond with you.
That's right. We've bonded enough at that point. But I think it becomes a bonding experience, and I think that's something that should be talked about. But we would rather talk about the negative of it. We would rather, oh, I didn't have to be up until 6:30, and they called me at 5:30, and why?
Well, you're right. See, I was thinking of the negative. Like, why are they calling me at that?
Right. And we do. And that's the first thought that went through my mind when the phone rang at 5:30. I thought, what is going on at 5:30 that I need to know about right now? Don't they know that people are asleep at 5:30?
Not after.
And I even make it a point to turn the phones off in my room so I don't answer them.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Maybe it was because it was getting close to time to get up, and it was daylight outside. So I don't know what that has to do with it, but I'm going to toss it in there at this point. So, but I heard the phone ringing in the living room, so I got up and I answered it, and I don't know how I made it there in five rings, but I did. And
did, Scott, did you go, oh?
Yeah, you do those. It probably doesn't sound pleasant when you answer the phone at 5:30
in the morning. Well, you got to do it that way. You can't make them think that you're even awake. You go, oh.
That's right. And you know, they're so peppy and ready to go.
Oh, sure.
Oh, and you know what?
They've been up all night because they can't sleep.
That's right. And you know what they say? They say the same thing, which is the dumbest question in the world. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, I thought she was going to say, did I wake you up?
No, not that. I didn't
know
that.
No, Sherlock.
That's right. No, I didn't even get that far this morning. I got, what are you doing? Well, what am I doing at 5:30? Let's see here. Well, I've read A Tale of Two Cities this morning. I've fried up some bacon.
My.
I mean, this is insane. It's a really bizarre world we live in, but I wish sometimes we looked more about the sociological aspects of people.
I guess in the meantime you're not going to get very much sleep, and I'm just going to sleep right through it.
You're going to sleep right through it. I'm so glad to hear. We haven't heard from you in a while. How have you been?
I've been pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. Laying low.
I thought maybe I said something that ticked you off, and you were just.
I don't think you did, and even if you did, I probably forgot.
Well, it's because it's always fun to talk to you. I always enjoy.
Well, thank you, Scott. Man, I just had to chime in this morning because, you know, I thought this is interesting.
Well, you chime in anytime. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open. What do you think? And that's very interesting. And I'm getting a message here right now on Facebook. So is that why you like us? Well, I don't know. Because different? Is that the theory? Because they're different? I don't know. You know, see, I think personalities can be similar. But how people live their life can be different. See, there's a whole nother discussion. I think personalities sometimes run very similar. But how you live your life might be completely different. So it's different. It's a little different. I think it's true. I just don't think money. I don't think education. I don't think job. I don't think any of these things has any bearing on your life. It doesn't change who you choose to be in your life. It doesn't change how you conduct your life. It doesn't change your personality. You are who you are, for better or worse. Now, sometimes people start changing those things, and that kind of has some kind of effect on their life, but some people are happy the way they are, and they should stay that way. You know, maybe that's what makes them them. And I think that's a good thing as well. The other day I heard a quote, and I was telling somebody this quote the other night, and I thought it was really good. Oh, yeah, here it is. If you're not happy single, you're not going to be happy married. And I think that comes right down to it. If you're just not a happy person, if the internal work is not happy, if it takes somebody else to make you happy, then you're a work in progress. You're probably not. Now, somebody can make you happier, but if you're in general not happy, that's not the Band-Aid that's going to fix it. You're not going to turn your life around all of a sudden because you get hitched. That's not going to be the medication. That's not going to be the answer. That's not going to be the be-all, end-all drug that's going to change everything. It's just not. You think it will, because again, it clears up some of those, it clears up some financial problems, it clears up some friends problems, it clears up some people in your life problems, but it doesn't fix your problems. You have to do the work from inside before you can really become a whole person. I think you're always really a half a person until you fix that. And then, once you fix it, you're good to go in life. This is a fascinating conversation, and there's so much more I want to talk about this morning, so stick with me here. Scott Spears on WWGH Radio. Maybe we'll talk to Glenn Coble about this when he comes in at 10 o'clock, too. But I got a whole nother hour, and there's some stuff. I want to do some trivia, actually, this morning, because there's a whole thing with trivia right now that I want to talk about, and we might get into that next hour. Plus, I've got some other things I want to talk about going on in the world, so don't you dare switch that dial.
With criticism, because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not, and then you consider source.